listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Welcome to Journeys on Revolution Radio, on Wolf Spirit Radio, and wherever else it might end up. Today is such a weird day. Where do I start? I woke up feeling really terrible. And then I ran out of vitamin D, so things got worse. and then the crap started happening at Standing Rock, and we started hearing from our own very own correspondents there. And then we started Sean's show, and it was all about Pizzagate. So let's go deeper. It's all about the same thing, really. It's all about invasion. It's all about theft of soul energy. In the end, it's all about like a fourth dimensional vampirism. To bring it all into context. Really
is. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, really is.
So, go ahead, Sean.
Well, everything keeps leading back to this James. And by the way, Ryan's still here with us. Ryan, pipe up there.
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, welcome, Brian Bosman and Bojan. How do you say it?
Well, you said the last time was Bojan, it's Hungarian. I'd rather you not pronounce it correctly for right now, maybe in a few weeks after this thing. I don't want people to easily find me, but go ahead.
Ryan Bosnavanis Tarzanovich.
Yeah. Oh, Ryan. Yes. Anyway, go on.
So Ryan, everything leads back to this James Achilles Alifantes, which I think is funny that first off, I like what people's names mean. James actually means the deceiver. Achilles, of course, was the hero that had an Achilles heel, and Alifantes actually means lover of children. So a deceiving whose Achilles heel is his love of children, aka Jimmy Comet at Comet Ping Pong. Now there are photos.
You can't make this up.
You can't make up the fact that Anthony Weiner, aka Carlos Danger, has a file on his laptop, desktop of 650,000 classified emails, all of which are under the classification of life insurance. But, okay, so the research into the global pedophilia network being exposed by WikiLeaks and all these other people everything keeps coming back to James Achilles Alifantes. And, I mean, I feel this information it's in the public interest and everything. Was obtained legally through publicly available sources. And if you go back to Breitbart way back in 2011, here's a reason why he may have been killed, because he was on to John Podesta and his brother not only being pedophiles or however you say it, but it's also that he was possibly responsible for he and his brother actually kidnapping the Macan girl, who was never seen again, by the way, and possibly used in a satanic ceremony and sacrificed. And all the files being backed up securely, and all images and links referenced are, you know, all linked to an archived copy. But getting information on any of this together has been a group effort by now thousands of people who are seeing what real absolute scum the people in Washington are, because it doesn't seem like they can be protected anymore by the mainstream media that everybody was just, you know, wide open mouth, being fed with a spoon, the regurgitated vomit that the mainstream media has been shoveling out. And when the president-elect of the United States gets all of the networks together and all of the people, you know, the David Muirs and the Anderson Coopers and, you know, the Lester Holtz and the big-time mucky-mucks of all this, and calls them liars and scumbags. I mean, how much better is that? He goes, you're liars, you're scumbags, and they were all puffed up about, oh well, you know, you're gonna tell us now how much access we're gonna get to your White House. He's like, F you! You're not getting any access because you're a bunch of lying scumbags. And to be dressed down by Trump, who basically said to all of them, you're fired. So it's been this
love to see that video. God,
oh, yeah. It's just a fly on a wall. But all these independent researchers, anonymous researchers that are all freely sharing all these resources. I mean, if you look at the alt.right media, which I guess is what we are now, when you have somebody like, again, Alex Jones has the president of the United States on speed dial, and Alex Jones was walking up a mountain or something to go do a video, and Donald Trump called him on the phone and said, I just wanted to say, I'm busy, but I just want to take a minute to tell you, thank you for you and all your people making me president of the United States. But when WikiLeaks, 4chan, 8chan, Twitter, Reddit, multiple Discord servers and dot onion sites, I mean, you can find a lot more general information out there on Podesta Leak, Pedoring, and Cheesy Bay Research Dump Part 1. But it was all adopted from Reddit by pleading the YIFF. So, I mean, Mr. Elefantes is the owner of the Washington DC pizza parlor called Comet Ping Pong. And by the way, you actually have photos on there of Barack Obama playing ping pong with these kids at Comet Ping Pong. The President of the United States goes down to Comet Ping Pong and hangs out at a pizza place. That would be like in the 80s, Ronald Reagan coming down here to Torrance and hanging out at Chuck E. Cheese for whatever reason. I mean, it's just really weird. And there are disturbing indications that Mr. Elefantes is running some form of pedophilia ring that involves quite a few public figures in Washington, D.C. And it would appear that he is literally the Achilles heel for all of these people of the stature, which just makes his name that much more interesting. The deceiver, Achilles in his heel, and Elefantes, as in love for children, being his Achilles heel. Because since the investigation began, Mr. Elefantes has deleted most of his posts and set his social media to private, and they have archived the entirety of his online presence, however, and links posted there are both archives and screenshots that were taken helping to investigate. But I want to find these links to powerful people, then outline the preponderance of evidence that he's a pedophile and that he uses Comet Ping Pong and four other businesses that may or may not, well, I believe they're linked by underground tunnels, as a front for a massive sex trafficking ring. Now, there's connections between all the power brokers involved in this and Elefantes. Now, once again, these are all the people that are about to be completely and utterly broken and disenfranchised, quite possibly, by a Trump administration. And as I said, look, when I was predicting that Trump was going to be president of the United States, I said Trump's going to win. It'll either be a tie in the House, a tie in the Electoral College, or a win by a landslide. That's the first thing. The second thing is you're going to see riots in the streets in most of these major cities. You did. They weren't very big riots. It was all, you know, a bunch of white people all smashing cars, $1 million worth of damage, to which Dave Chappelle said, amateurs. And the, Dave Chappelle said, amateurs. And the, he says, I haven't seen this many people upset since the OJ trial. And that the next thing that was going to happen was that the depth of crime here was going to call for tribunals. Now, I still think that Obama's going to pardon everybody. I think he's going to pardon Hillary. He's going to pardon Bill. The minute Hillary started getting involved in the whole recount thing where she swore that she would accept the election as is, where she's already conceded, if I was Trump, I would put a phone call into Hillary, say, you want to continue this nonsense of this scam, this ridiculous recall, then fine, you're going to get that special prosecutor and I'm going to carry out my promise that you're going to go to jail. And Hillary Clinton herself was the one that said, look, if this guy gets in, we're all going to swing. And Fox News, there was a Media Matters boss paid former partner $850 large in a blackmail settlement. And, there's a link confirming, let me see, so James Elefantes, owner of the Comet Ping Pong, is the romantic partner of former CTR director David Brock. So, once again, you have these lovely homosexuals, you know, all running these children's pedophilia rings. And there's a link confirming this and showing them caught up with another individual in some kind of blackmail love triangle. You know, between these three homosexuals that are all surprisingly running a child pedophilia ring. And David Brock, the man who was paid to invent, I'm sorry, so I just was going to this. So Media Matters chief David Brock paid a former domestic partner $850,000 after being threatened with damaging information involving the organization's donors and the IRS, a deal that Brock later characterized as a blackmail payment, according to legal documents obtained by Fox News. So in an acrimonious lawsuit settled at the end of last year, Brock accused William Gray of making repeated threats to expose him to the scorn or ridicule of his employees, donors, and in the press, and demanding money and property. And Brock claimed in legal papers that he sold a Rehoboth Beach, Delaware home that he once shared with Gray in order to meet Gray's demands, which he called blackmail, in the lawsuit. So Alfontes was named as a defendant, by the way, in the Gray lawsuit, and Gray denies that he committed any acts of blackmail, blah, 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 blah. So all these guys are, you know, the skeeviest, the skeeviest dudes that you could probably find. They're all
horrible, horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all gay. They're all, you know, they're all sticking it to each other. But once again, James Achilles Alfontes, once again, the owner of Comet Ping Pong. And, you know, very interesting guy. Now, here's where Hillary Clinton plays into this. Because David, by the way, this guy, David Brock, who was being blackmailed, he's also the former director of the Bitcoin Foundation and is a confirmed pedophile, as exposed in past court cases and in the documentary An Open Secret. And this alone should have the crypto crowd actually paying attention to this stuff. So here's where Hillary Clinton fits into this. There's a letter that Alfontes posted from Hillary thanking him for helping with a fundraiser that involved the Podestas. Dear James, thank you for lending your time and extraordinary talent to pedophilia, in the cooking with Fratelli Podesta. So one is named John, the other is named Fratelli. Fundraiser for my campaign for the president hosted by Tony and John Podesta. I'm sorry, Fratelli must be the wife. So they had a cooking thing. It makes you wonder what's in that stew. Hello, I found a hand. I heard the evening was a smashing success and I'm grateful to you for everything. Thank you for standing with me in this fight and please know that I'm cheering you on for continued success onward, with warm regards. I am sincerely yours, Hillary Rodham Clinton. It's very interesting. Onward with warm regards. I am. So an FCC search also shows payments are then made to Alfontes from the Clinton campaign and from all the pro-Clinton PACs. So that's how they're all kind of linked together. Now let's bring in Barack Obama. And by the way, all the websites are too massive to mention here. Let's bring in Barack Obama. There's a photo that Alfontes posted showing Obama playing ping pong with a young boy. Now there's one guy in a bow tie who looks like a maitre d'. It looks like it's one of the halls of the White House, but Obama's been identified in the WikiLeaks Podesta dump as having held phone banks at the Comet ping pong location. So here's the President of the United States again hanging out in a ping pong parlor. It seems pretty strange to me that they got a ping pong table in what looks like a big corridor of the White House. There's no black people in the photo because, you know, Obama doesn't hang with the brothers. Obama's been identified. Oh, thank you. Obama has been identified in the WikiLeaks Podesta dump as having held phone banks at the Comet Pizza. Now here comes George Soros. I mean, this is just, and they all hang out at Chuck E. Cheese. They all hang out at Comet Pizza. Yes, George Soros is involved with this pizza parlor. He's listed as a major donor to the American Bridge 21st Century PAC, and the PAC is on record with the FCC as having made donations to Comet Ping Pong. It gets worse. Yes, it does. I mean, now here we have George Soros making these, he's making oh my God, what did he do? He did the Schedule B itemized disbursement. It's got all the tax stuff here as far as him now, committing major money as part of a PAC to support Comet Ping Pong. Now let's bring in Marina Abramovic. Now Alfontes
Abramovich.
Abramovich. Okay. VIC. Now Alfontes appears to have some form of relationship now. Now this is the woman that you saw on TV she's got a picture of her in the woods, you know, with a, you know, clutching an armful of wood like she's making a fire out there. And she's the artist that he references in an Instagram basically posting a photo which appears to possibly make a reference to the god, to a worship of the god Moloch. And again, she was the one that was then doing this satanic ceremony, or I don't know if you want to call it satanic or witchcraft-oriented ceremony, about spirit cooking. Now, spirit cooking, to me, do anybody want to chime in on spirit cooking and what it involves?
I'd like to hear what Ryan has to say, what he's researched about spirit cooking, Ryan.
Well, basically, spirit cooking is, well, there's two forms of it. There's one they do in public, which is, it's called artwork. And then there's what they do in private. But basically it's a sacrifice where they pour pig's blood onto a baby and they drink semen, and I'm trying to be medical here. And it's one of the most disgusting things you can see. And there's actually a video online you can watch about spirit cooking. So if you're interested, I suggest watching it. It's hard to talk about, but it's the most vile thing you could ever think about. And what's crazy about this woman is she's done a TED Talk. She has been a legitimate TED Talk that's not been banned. I mean, we have, like, Graham Hancock does a TED Talk. He gets banned. This woman does a TED Talk. You go to it. And she shows herself cutting a pentagram into her stomach and bleeding and talking about how it's performance art. It's the most disgusting thing you've ever seen. All right, I'm done.
You'll be done. You know, you're here to talk about this. It goes on. It goes on. Now, as I understand it, the video that I saw, and they showed this on the news. This is on ABC, by the way. And on ABC, they showed that they had this muck that they were sort of spreading on a, I don't know, an idol, it looked like. It's, on the one hand, I was sort of corrected on this, but Moloch, as I understand it, Moloch was like a giant cow. Moloch was like the golden calf, I believe. You know, now you had Baal, which was sort of a favorite, but Baal was always depicted, as far as I knew, as a giant phallus. And they would actually put like a, they would put a furnace in the balls of the phallus. And they would sacrifice people into this furnace. They would sacrifice children. They would toss babies in, mostly on Ishtar, where you had 3 days where it was just a giant national orgy. You just got to have sex with anybody. It was sort of like the purge. But the most famous one was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They walked through the fire to and fro. And, they didn't burn, obviously, because there was the fourth man who was the angel who was protecting them. As far as I know, the spirit cooking was that they were mixing, once again, you know, semen, urine, blood, and that they were spreading it on, I don't know what it was. It looked like it was like a meatloaf that was in the shape of a baby or something.
Effigy of a baby, yeah. That's the public version of it, you know, so right. Who knows what they do in private.
Now, the odd thing is that then if you go to John and Tony Podesta and, Alefantes, then posted a photo inside Tony Podesta's house. Well, he has it's a gold statue of a body that's hanging from the ceiling as if it's being suspended by a rope at the midsection with the arms and the legs hanging down, but the body doesn't have a head on it. But this is hanging from his ceiling in his house. And it's actually called, it's called the Arch of Agony. The Arch of Agony. And it's a statue from the main hallway. In other words, you walk into this guy's house and you look up and you see the Arch of Agony, this golden statue of a guy hanging backwards, if you will, his feet and hands, although he's suspended, it looks as though he's suspended by his waist, from the ceiling.
And you know what it looks like? It looks like somebody trussed up like a turkey.
Have you seen the photo?
The breast is exposed.
Yeah, except without a head.
That's what you do with a turkey, isn't it?
Yes, I've seen the photo. I'm looking at it right now, actually.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
So, and this was, by the way, the photographs of the stuff in his house was all featured. This is featured in the Washington Post. Yeah. And in the Washington Post, I mean, all the stuff, if you want it hanging in your home, it's, you look at the rest of the stuff, which seems mild but perverse. It's just there's like a young man, he's sitting in his underpants on the edge of a bed. You have a group of children laying in a circle with their heads by each other that look like they're all in a pool, like a drained pool with leaves all around them. You do have one which looks like, which is a young boy in red underpants whose arms are tied above his head but hanging from a wall of tile, of patterned tile. Then you have a group of young, well, young girls again in what looks like swimming outfits. This whole thing is done against tile where they've just got their hands behind their backs looking towards the camera. I mean, every single one of these is just children in their underwear
in a drained swimming pool.
In a drained swimming pool, mostly facing away from the camera. And this is the artwork that Podesta has spent, you know, millions of dollars, collecting around the world. Now, Podesta emails make mention of Comet Ping Pong again, the family-friendly restaurant and venue with ping pong for kids, and it shows some photos of all these kids in there playing ping pong. Then it moves on to another player in this game called Arun Rao, and this is the best link between James and Arun, is that on Instagram they both keep liking the same pictures of toddlers. They just go back and forth. They say, oh, I like that baby. Oh, I like that baby more. Oh, I like that baby. And according to the LinkedIn profile, Arun Rao is Chief Southern Division of the United States Department of Justice, United States Attorney's Office for the District of Maryland. So Comet Pizza is technically in Washington, D.C., but is practically on the border of Chevy Chase, Maryland, which, of course, is the jurisdiction of Arun Rao. And by the way, here's what it says on his LinkedIn. Violent crime prosecution priorities in Greenbelt include using federal racketeering, conspiracy, and firearm statutes to disrupt violent gangs and reduce gang activity. The scope of these gang prosecutions ranges from local to national and international. And what better way to track children as far as. And now they want you to do these kits, by the way. This is even more diabolical. They want you to do these kits for your kids, which go to the FBI, that then have a photograph, that then have a thumbprint, that then have blood type, which is interesting. Because what's the biggest thing now with these rich people is that they get a hold of these kids. Apparently they pay them a bunch of money to do this as well. They get a hold of the children, and they then, I don't know if they pay the children or whatever, but they take basically a pint of the kid's blood. And you then inject, if you're the same blood type, you inject it into yourself. And apparently it puts lead in your pencil. It makes you young again, but they're actually taking the blood of these children, injecting it into themselves, and finding that it has all kinds of various curative properties. But in 2010, Arun Rao was on the prosecution team that helped convict Cecil M. Graham for possession of child pornography. Here goes, former NASA contractor pleads guilty to using his work computer to possess child pornography. Now, Graham faces a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison, followed by supervised release of at least 5 years and up to life. Chief U.S. District Judge Deborah K. Chazanow has scheduled sentencing for November 29, 2010. The case was brought as part of a Project Safe Childhood, a nationwide initiative to combat the growing epidemic of child sexual exploitation and abuse, launched in May 2006. But once again, you got a wolf in charge of the chickens. Because if you understand that this Arun Rao is the guy who's fighting the war on supposed child prostitution, it makes you wonder if he's not really going after the people that are trying to expose him. Because once again, Arun Rao was one of the prosecutors of the case. And last but not least, you've got somebody named Majestic Ape, a.k.a. Amanda Kleiman. Yeah. And video recorded. Yeah. You want to comment on her?
Well, her, him, I think. But, okay. No, I think the worst is that she, they, after the kids, go home. Well, actually, when the kids should go home, they do bands in the back of the pizza parlor. And they have all these Satanistic bands perform. And the person you're talking about is one of those performers. And they put out these flyers that says like all ages. And so they have these kids running around and it's like, it's openly demonic stuff. And it's, you could go on YouTube and listen to the words they say. Do you want to read the words, Sean?
If you got it, you'll post, hold on one second. Let me set you up. Why don't you read them? Video recorded during Sasha Lord's birthday party at Comet Ping Pong An individual with the microphone wearing a wig and ski mask is Amanda Kleiman, a.k.a. Majestic Ape. Words used are very strange. Video was deleted within an hour of it being found on YouTube and had to be archived and re-uploaded. She uploaded it a second time as unlisted, and after a day or two switched it to private. Any remaining copies on YouTube are re-uploads and may or may not get taken down with DMCA notices. So, read away. You want to see what you, here's some of the songs that they sing at this kid's birthday party. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to play that. Play it. All
right. Play it.
Let's not talk for a second.
So I'm going to go ahead and do it. Probably because this is on Heavy Breathing or Amanda Kleinman's. YouTube channel. This was on a different guy. I don't have his name right here. I'll try to find it though and link it. Here she's doing her little intro thing. She comes out and says some very weird sexually suggestive stuff. Generally acts creepy. And then she gets into the fun bit, and that's where her and the audience members, I'm guessing these are like roadies, heavy breathers, as she calls them, start talking about pedophilia, just sort of out of the blue. And they're laughing about it and joking. And Majestic Ape says, "Well, we all have our preferences." And that sums it up for me. I think that pedophilias, some of them who are not self-aware, believe that pedophilia is a sexual preference and not a mental illness. We've actually seen some articles from the left-wing media sort of hinting at that.
Anyway, here we are together, and you all are very grateful that you are below a Subway sandwich shop.
Yeah!
And Jerry is known to hang out down here. He likes the world sounds. To mamas.
And little boys.
And children.
I think I was his manager. We all have preferences.
Right. Creepiest laugh. Go ahead, Sean. Sorry, but it took so long.
So what was it we were just listening to, Brian?
So that was Majestic Ape performing at Comet Ping Pong at about like probably 1 in the morning.
Majestic and 8, this is a band, yeah?
Yes, it was a band performing it. And so there, it's in between songs, and if you've been at bands, there's a little banter in between. And so basically that was talking about like what was, she thought was the manager, and someone said like, she likes little boys. And he's trying to deny it, and he's just like, well, we all have our preferences. So.
Good fun, eh? So last but not least, the rest of this is that the, I mean, when you figure out some of the kids that James Elefante's post about, the photos are identical children are tagged with liked or disliked. What are you doing? All right. Sorry. I got a cat going crazy here. One of the posts, her Instagram profile photo and linked in a profile excerpt where she's the events manager, PR operations. Of course, she's out of Portland. Let me see. Corey Woolman is another one that's linked to this, and she was the event planner for Comet Ping Pong in the time frame that the Instagram posts were made. She now lives in Portland, and she would be an important person to interview as a character witness for James Elefantis. And there are 4 other unique children amongst the photos posted that I don't know the identities of, but sister of James Elefantis, Susan, wrote a letter in support of Christopher Kloman. Christopher Kloman was sentenced to 43 years in prison for multiple counts of child molestation. This is Elefantis' sister. So the implications that James Elefantis is running a pedophile ring out of Comet Ping Pong. Sexual references are made in Comet Ping Pong and by Elefantis online. First, Comet Ping Pong, by the way, advertises itself as a family place for parents and their kids. There's a website that shows that a reviewer mentioned the presence of hidden doors in the establishment. And it also revealed that the Food Network show Guy Ferrari has done an episode at Comet Ping Pong.
Yep.
So, and there's all kinds of links and screenshots for that. Now, the Washington Post has also run a story revealing that Comet Ping Pong has been accused by a Washington neighborhood commissioner of being, this is my neighborhood commissioner's like the neighborhood watch. And who would ever say this about a Chuck E. Cheese as an example, but the Washington neighborhood commissioner now says that Comet Ping Pong, quote, is a haven for rape and murder. Who could say that? Remember the pizza place we used to hang out at, Ryan?
Oh, it was very, I hate, now knowing all this, like, I don't want to eat pizza. Like, between that and gluten, I'm done.
It's the yeast, isn't it? It's the yeast network. Whatever's involved with yeast, it's like, everybody turns into yeast.
You could hardly say that the place that, you know, Ryan was running a comedy club, out of this place, and I would go down and he had some great performers and he's got some great, great people. And actually, Salim Muhammad and I both became really good friends there. And, Ryan set me up with some great people to just kind of chat with and all that, cause he had some really top notch comedians there, but you would hardly call it a haven for rape and murder. I mean, you know, maybe that's my place, but you know, whatever. But despite its claim to be this family friendly, place, the restaurant has a number of disturbing sexual references inside, and James Elefantis makes a number of references to pedophilia, both overtly and implicitly online. Elefantis actually posted a photo of a huge wall-shaped art photo piece, which appears to show a man vaginally penetrating what looks to be an underage girl. And it's got a guard in a suit in the background, a black guy, a guard in a suit in the background, asleep. And this thing's up on a wall, then you basically see this girl's knickers all pulled up with this guy's hands around her, basically spreading her open. But Elefantis, it's why? And he also has the photo, I mean, users saying this actually might is a self-portrait of the artist and his porn star wife. But one can still think that it's inappropriate that the owner of a kid-friendly establishment is posting hardcore pornography to his Instagram account at the very least. And there's a photo showing the inside of Comet Ping Pong where graffiti says, shut up and F and amen are clearly visible. And the most disturbing posted photo is a disturbing image of this little girl taped down to a table in Comet Ping Pong. Now, in all fairness, if you actually see this photo, the kid has these disturbing bags under its eyes. She's smiling. She's not, you know, the tape that they use is masking tape. She could obviously just, you know, I mean, pull out of the masking tape and all that. But you see somebody behind her, with her back to her who's actually playing a game of ping pong. And it looks like somebody's just goofing around and has taken masking tape and taped her to this table. It's not a horrific photo. It's not something that shows, oh my God, she's in bondage or anything. It's masking tape, for goodness sakes. But the next one.
Just a comment real quick. But all of these individually can easily be explained away. You know, that's like, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4. But when you start adding this up, hundreds and hundreds of images and links and videos, it becomes like a court case. I don't even know how, even with our circumstantial evidence that we've just discovered over the last couple of weeks, that a jury would not convict these people. You know, I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, there's another photo on Instagram that I actually saw also on the news, oddly enough, which has a baby, in sort of a white rumply, like, Dickensian kind of top with a, you know, fluffy white hat. I'm not even sure it's an actual baby because it actually looks like a doll, but it's got a sign that says German baby, $1,200, please do not touch, with the Instagram stuff of, where Jimmy Comet, who is James Elefantis, is saying way overpriced. Hobenkamp says creepy. Somebody else says, it was spotted at Linda Tripp's Christmas shop. Linda Tripp was the one that was the pal of Monica Lewinsky. So weird. Sort of looks like a baby Linda Tripp. Jimmy Comet says boss lady. Oh, this is what's interesting. Jimmy Comet at hashtag Linda Tripp says boss_lady_eats. Now that's funny. Boss lady eats. Who's the boss lady? Hillary Clinton, you know, and then he's got a picture, he's posted a photo featuring a man wearing a t-shirt that says, I love children in French. It says J, apostrophe heart, l'enfant, or I love babies, basically. And it made all the more disturbing when you break down that James's name, like this anonymous, it could be a pseudonym and just another way he's openly bragging in plain sight that his last name actually means I love children. So, and there's a reference to the boom boom room, which sounds disturbingly like a play on the phrase boom boom used for foreign prostitutes to describe sex. And the term boom boom is most often associated with South Asian countries, Thailand, Cambodia, or Laos, and is used to describe the act of intercourse, usually that which is purchased by males, frequently brothels and whorehouses in these locations. And the team is thought to have been created by prostitutes possessing limited English ability. Hey, Joe, you want the boom boom? Me love you a long time. It is far easier for a non-English speaking prostitute or a Thai prostitute to say, you go boom boom with me. So it goes on and on and on for Jimmy Comet and all these things of, you know, little kids. But Alafontes posted a photo of a man with a yellow bead necklace around the head of a young boy. A quick search reveals yellow sex bracelets imply analingus. And the hashtag chicken lovers in the Instagram post is a pedophilia reference to young men who are attracted to underage boys. It goes on and on and on. And then you've got all this erotic photos, of people actually having sex on a slice of pizza, a baby eating a slice of pizza, to homosexuals who have a slice of pizza that's covering another man's erect genitals while the two men eat basically what's behind the pizza. It goes on and on and on. Anything else? You know, one man kissing a big piece of pizza saying, you belong to me. And so the innuendo to systemic child abuse and trafficking is Comet Ping Pong's posters for concerts played at their venue show references to abuse and pedophilia. There's a poster which may refer to the out-of-body experience that children have when they experience extreme abuse. It goes, you know, cosmonauts, Hollywood, the three Lolitas. So go ahead. You were going to say something? No? Yes?
Me, Mike.
Okay. More disturbingly, Alafontes has posted a number of photos showing very suspicious rooms, construction of underground chambers, openly joked about filling them with his friends on Instagram. A photo of Alafontes posted showing men digging a hole. Him and his friends joke about filling it, and a commentator claims his hole has, quote, been full for quite some time now, unquote. And they also joke about doing a lineup at the hole in the near future. And other photos that he's posted appear to show a large freezer, which could appear to be a location used for some kind of imprisonment or torture. So commenters on the photo joke, rinse it off when you're done, and have actually referred to it as the kill room, which is a room with no windows and no doors. And there's one man who commented that the kill room on the above photo had a number of images on his Instagram appearing to show them making actually metallic metallic child-sized coffins, and a disturbing WikiLeaks email where a torture chamber is referenced. And finally, people have noticed that pro-Hillary groups all own the properties on the block where Comet Ping Pong is located. And some of the company logos of nearby groups who have offices near Comet Ping Pong all look similar to known images used by pedophiles as per an FBI, document. So it goes on and on. This whole thing seems to be, and once again, make no mistake about it. You actually have, this is all an inside deal. This is an inside deal where the parents of these children are the ones who are actually pimping their own children out to these high level, you know, ranking scumbags, for money, for power, for favors, for probably as in trade, because if they let them have sex with their children, then they get to have sex with their other children. Showing once again, probably the most famous outing of this was Joe Biden, taking a group picture where he's got this little girl in front of him, and you catch it on the mic where he says, you have no idea how excited I am to have a 13-year-old girl like you standing in front of me. And, you know, don't forget to come to the house for the movies later or whatever it was. And he goes to kiss her, and the girl jerks away. I mean, like she's being physically attacked. She jerks away, but yeah. The parents seem perfectly fine with it. And then off they go. And if anybody on this planet looks like a pedophile, it's Joe Biden. In my opinion. So what else you guys have to say? I'm tired of talking now. So what else you got?
So, well, one of the things is we've known for a long time that there is some network of evil and wrongdoing throughout the world. And it's something to do with some kind of, some kind of religious kind. Yeah, well, satanic, but also, you know, there's Catholics involved in that. So, you know, that's undermining one of the largest religions, that controls everything, in the world. It's a complete undermining of it. And it goes back even further to, you know, this is what they used to do in Rome, wasn't it, Sean? I mean, sure. and Babylon.
How far back does this go? JP, I gotta ask you, you know, when does this eventually end at the Queen?
Well, exactly. And further back. And it goes all the way back
to Jimmy Savile.
Jimmy Savile. Now here's the thing. Jimmy Savile, right? He filled our brains in these years when he was like put forward on TV because this is all we were fed. But of course now we realize that television was just a way of programming us all. But, we did learn a bit. You know, I certainly learned about space and time from Doctor Who. It was all real, very true. You know, all the science fiction on TV when I grew up. But everything else was a lie. Anyway. And, you know, the soap operas were the programming. But it's behind all of that. All of these so-called, do-gooders, you know, Jimmy Savile was always doing something charitable. He was doing a marathon for charity and this and that and, doing everything for children's charities. And so that brings that layer, strata of society, the whole charity thing, into a focus. You know, were they complicit in it? You know, how much? It just keeps going because all of the, you know, and it all goes back to the bankers. How much are the bankers involved in paedophilia? That's how
also, then you have one of the other, the link to the crown here is that Jeffrey Epstein's pedophilia island, Prince Andrew, otherwise known as Randy Andy, was a regular visitor to the island. And wasn't there a case in England, and you would be much better at this than I, because I'm tired and I've got mad cow and my brain's running away. There was a group of children that went to Balmoral Castle, was it? And they vanished. They disappeared. A whole gang of kids.
There's a lot of stories from all over the world that the Queen and Prince Philip come to visit a village and they have to get a whole load of kids with them, and then 10 of them disappear. It always seems to be 10 of them. And they're never seen again.
Well,
in lots
of
places all over the world.
She controls MI5, she controls MI6, she controls the internal and external police force. And of course you're all subjects of the Queen, so she can do pretty much anything she wants to you. So, you know, there's that. But I'm just saying that there were all these famous cases of whole groups of children that have disappeared. Been invited to tea parties and whatever else and just never come back. Maybe she sweeps them away to a magical land where they fight Captain Hook, and fly around with pixie dust, but I doubt it.
Oh dear, I've just activated the reality, module. Meanwhile, here under the whole, British Broadcasting Corporation, there lies the body of Jimmy Savile. Still twitching. Is an automaton now. And they can, you know, people take them down into the basement to see the still chattering head of Jimmy Savile with the cigar. Anyway.
In the United States, Kathy O'Brien claimed that her handler was, and again, I'm tired and it's all off the top of my head, but that her handler was a famous country western puppeteer, and that he was a ventriloquist, and he had a dummy that he took along with him, but that he was the mind control handler, and that they actually opened up the town of Branson, Missouri in order to, in essence, have a centrally located core so that they could use the God and country music. You know, which is all about, it's all about, you know, John Cougar, John Deere, and John 316, you know, that whole crowd. but that they opened up Branson, Missouri in order to allow them a main hub for them to actually then distribute not only drugs, but supposedly, children, child slaves, you know, whatever else. And then she claimed that this, this one ventriloquist, I can't remember his name, it was Jimmy something, but, this one ventriloquist was the guy who controlled her like a puppet, quite literally. And that they were using country music and the big giant buses that they move the equipment around in, and that's what they were actually using to distribute drugs all across the Midwest, which actually people don't remember that, before Mike Pence got in, that Indiana, well, it still is. Indiana is like it's the meth capital of the United States. Kansas is just as bad. You know, I still remember 20 years ago going to Kansas, and just because I was from California and I had kind of longish hair and a lot of money, you know, people following me around thinking I had to be a drug dealer. I mean, literally people like busting into my hotel room thinking, you know, you guys gonna party? Pardon me, what?
How long was your hair?
Long as shoulder length, you know, I grow it out in the summertime and then, you know, get a haircut. And it's, you know, that was back when I was a rock god, you know, back when I was DJing.
Go ahead.
Oh, actually, you'll see me next time we go to Area 51. I'm actually my rock and roll leather jacket, long haired love god picture. Is on the wall at, the little alien at out at Area 51. So next time we go out there, I'll show you my picture on the wall out there. Oddly enough, it was very strange to see Cassandra Peterson. Elvira, the Mistress of the Dark, is my old girlfriend. And she was on Talking Dead, the show that comes on after Walking Dead. So it was pretty interesting to see Cassandra again. And, not in makeup, but of course she plays Elvira. And, you know, back in the days when I was in the LA Connection and she was in the Groundlings and, you know, we were dating back then and, you know, created the whole Elvira character, which, you know, and we eventually broke up. So, you know, which, you know, all my breakups end with, get out. You and that fantastically, magically, wonderfully, masculinely formed male member of yours, get out of here, both of you. out you go. All right. So anything else on the subject? Cause I gotta help Melissa with, Christmas decorations and all kinds of stuff, and it's been kind of a long day.
Well, just my final thoughts before JP closes it out.
You can stay, Ryan, if you like. Sean yeah, can bugger off and be beaten up by his wife.
Yeah, I can bugger off. I'm fine buggering off.
All right. Well,
hazed by his wife in the kitchen over the kitchen table. Is it?
I've been there. Well, I was going to say thank you, Sean, for taking like a very disturbing subject that's, you know, anybody that goes down this rabbit hole and investigate it, you know, that do have a soul, it can be very disturbing. And Sean, you've able to, you know, intellectualize it, like make it clear and also add humor to it, which it's a gallows humor, but it's something we need when we go down this road. We still need to keep a sense of humor. And that's why I've always loved Sean. And I think he's such a great guy is because he's always been able to make me laugh. And sorry, like I'll be talking, I'm here just being like, it's because like, you know, I love his perspective you know, I'm excited to see, the things he's going to create. So go ahead, JP.
Well, this is Ryan. Let me put this in perspective for people. Again, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The whole aspect of it was Lord Tennyson that actually said that it's, power corrupts and, there's more to that. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And all men are wicked, I think is what he said. But this is nothing that hasn't been happening throughout time and space. I mean, this is, exactly. If you go back through all these empires, look, it's, the bottom line is that if people think they can get away with it, they'll do it. And so what happens with these secret societies and these people at the top, these people who think that they are completely all powerful and untouchable, and it goes through the British Empire, it goes through the Roman Empire, of course. I mean, all this vile nastiness has been happening, you know, all the way down through time. It's just interesting now that what's occurring is that now that the mainstream media has been smashed, now that they're all eating crow pies, now that they've been found to be completely wrong, now that they've been almost utterly repudiated by the American public to say, we don't like you, we don't believe you, we think that that every word out of your mouth is a lie. And, you know, Trump is the guy that's, you know, again, he's gathered them all in the same room and said, you're scumbags, you're liars, you're filth. I mean, I was at a rally when he was pointing at the media saying, you know, all these dirtbags out here pointing right at the media guys. And I was standing right behind him at the rally when he was dressing down these press guys. And now, as I said, it's a world where Alex Jones is on the speed dial list of the President of the United States. Now it's a world where you've got, the former communications director for Breitbart.com now basically working on the transition team. And now we're going to see truths like we've never seen. And the ultimate thing has been when, as these people have been in power, this is the ultimate secret that they've been covering up. That, again, the Justice Department covers up, the, you know, the highest people, the highest levels. If you believe Kathy O'Brien, she talked about how Gerald Ford was the big Mac Daddy of all this child molestation out of Michigan, that, Robert Byrd was the, chief speaker pro tem of the Senate. And, Byrd or Perry? No, it had to be Robert Byrd. But that he was the big, you know, Mac Daddy of this. If you understand that people like Lindsey Graham, is apparently having some kind of, allegedly having some kind of major homosexual relationship with Barack Obama. If you believe, and I can't believe I actually heard this, where Obama was saying, I will measure the integrity of my administration with any other administration that's ever been in power. And the media is saying, it's remarkable that the Obama administration has had like no scandals. And then you really think about it because they've so successfully covered up when you think of the birther scandal, that this guy was born in Kenya, that this guy has 5 social security numbers, that, you know, that maybe his wife is a hermaphrodite or a dude, that somehow, the baby mama of one of maybe Barack Obama's kids shows up at the front gate of the White House and she's shot like a dog in the street. Mm-hmm. And then you just go on and on and on and on of all the stuff that the mainstream media hasn't covered. And now when it gets down to the nitty gritty where quote, the rubber meets the road, and you realize that these dirtbags have been screwing kids this whole time, you know, suddenly, oh, the media is like, oh, it's all fake. It's all fake. It's all fake. Did not. Oh, it's all true. Oh, that's all fake. You know, and they're running for their lives. There's, the Benjamin Fulford report even goes so far as saying that the cabal was escaping in a spaceship and then we blew it out of the sky. No, I mean.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
that was just saying, hey, now there was a.
Okay. I would stay if you guys wanted to actually read the Fulford report.
Yeah. This is good fun. But there's also been a film. Of, and I think it was over Turkey, of what looked like fragments falling out of the sky, burning up in the atmosphere.
I have the story right here, actually. Hold on. It was right.
They actually showed that on InfoWars. They never cover UFO stuff, which I thought was funny.
So, you know, these things happening at the same time sounds like maybe there are a few of them trying to escape at the same time.
It's only a video, actually. Meteor Fireball. Meteor Fireball over Venice, Florida. It's, I don't know, it's 3 minutes. If you want to play it? You want to play it?
Yeah, go on, hit it. You wanted to give me the thing and I'll scoot it through the thing.
There it is. If you want to take a look at it. Meanwhile, hold on. One of the
Fireball XL 7 3¾. Oh, it's an advert. Anyway.
I want to be a fireball.
It's a high-end ionic hybrid. Yeah, there we go.
Look into your starry eyes.
There we go.
Fireball XL.
There we are. Breaking news. Dun, 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 dun. Don't speak. Dun, 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 dun.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Nibiru channel. It is November 22nd, 2016, and we have some recent meteor footage for you.
Well, apparently yesterday, more than 100 people in the Venice, Florida area saw a streaking fireball across the sky. It was actually caught on a police dash cam, and so far, no official report on what was actually seen. We thought that everyone would like to see this fireball because it was very, very bright. Once again, caught on a Venice police officer's dash cam. I'll play the video for you.
Okay, so what we're saying is it's very fast, and it goes, hang on, they repeat, foof, foof, foof. Foof, foom, and behind the trees. And then...
Boom. Go ahead and play it one more time.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, there it goes. That's it. So that's, you know, so what we're looking at is a dash cam, and it's a, like, sub-second fragment of video where you see this thing dropping. Now, it's not dropping as fast as, say, you'd imagine a meteor to drop. It's dropping like it's kind of, there's something kind of
lowering it down like its own burning. You know, it's like there's enough thrust of its own burning to slow it down as it's coming down. Like it's something big. So what do you think, Sean, on that one? The so-called meteor fireball. Do you reckon that's an Illuminati ship being shot down? Who's going to shoot them down? The Grey Fleet?
I wish the New World Order guys would call me on the phone and say, "Hey, Sean, here's our dastardly plot for the day." But unfortunately, they don't. All right, now do you want to do Fulford and then?
Okay, let's right. complete the cycle on here.
Okay, because we only got like 5 minutes before the top of the hour break. But you're on Wolf Spirit, right? So
yeah, we're on Wolf Spirit. No, we're on Revolution Radio Studio B, and on Wolf Spirit. We're really syndicating out today.
So here's the break. All right, then I should probably leave it to you to read Ben Fulford.
Yeah, all right. I'll read Ben Fulford and then whatever.
All right, guys. Ryan, right. thanks for coming. I don't know if he's in the bathroom or not, but
I'm back. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you guys carry on. I'm going to bugger off as as JP. So single. So I'm bloody buggering off now. I will leave you with one for what is it? Guys, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Sean. Bless your heart.
I'll see you Thursday.
See you Thursday, buddy. Well, here we are. Hour four.
Yes, oh, yes.
And I'm still here with Ryan. How you doing? You're brilliant.
I'm doing good. This is the first time we've got the chance to talk, so this is good. But I'll let you introduce this hour, and then I have some questions for you.
Sure. Because I mean, as I said, this is Journeys with JP. It is the 29th of November now in UK. It's 2:03 in the morning. But for you, you're still on the 28th because you're somewhat in the past. But that's fine. Here in the future, it's rather chilly. So I'd invite you to turn the stove on, just in case it gets cold at night. So, meanwhile, I've been following this thing for a long, long, long time. I think it started when I started doing internet radio, because it's one of the subjects that started coming up. I followed a pair of guys who were on, now what is it? The Danger Zone was the name of the show.
Yeah.
David Hawkins and Field McConnell. That's right. And David Hawkins used to come up with all of this stuff and all the different guilds and different Masonic groups who were involved.
I think Mike Cernovich is also on that Danger Zone. But go ahead.
So I started learning about all this, and really, you know, I've always wondered, what is this connection? What is the hierarchy? What is the ladder? What is this ladder of evil that there seems to be, this, you know, demonic hierarchy? Where does it start? And it seems to start at TV companies, you know, like the BBC. And it goes on through government, and it goes on through in the depths of the medical establishment, in the mortuaries, in the death industry, in the corporations, in the human trafficking, in the Operation Paperclip, in the, where they go, FemComp.
The spider web is everywhere.
It is mold.
You can't turn a corner without running into it.
That's right.
You're right. Yeah.
It's mold. It's necrotic.
It's all cancer.
Yeah. So, we need cosmic borax, because borax gets rid of borax pushes it back. Strangely enough, it's boron, you know, just like this element. So there must be a frequency of boron that is anathema to these beings, because it seems to get rid of mold and heal yourself from this stuff.
Well, apparently these beings, they feed off this negative energy, that's their sustenance. The further you go down the rabbit hole, you realize there's, you know, this pedophile ring that we're uncovering right now, there's a group on top of that. And then there's a group on top of that, and possibly a group on top of that, you know? So, I'm glad, like, this is the first time I've been hopeful in so long, that I think that maybe now, like, normal people like regular people that haven't studied this stuff for 10 years and, even that, 9/11 inside job or all these conspiracy theories that we've just surrounded ourselves with. Like, I think now regular people are like, the kids thing, that's their breaking point. That's what's going to cross the line. And I'm seeing that online. I've said this to my friends, like, this is biblical. This is a point in history. Like, I'm so happy and proud that I'm in this moment right now because, when my kids, my grandkids look back on this moment, they're going to be like, what were you doing when you were fighting this satanic evil network? Were you part of it or were you fighting against it? I'm sure like every other generation, it skips a generation. Imagine living in Germany or those types of places and like what were you doing? Like I was fighting for, what, or were you fighting against it? Did you try to, these are the questions your grandkids are going to ask you. And this is how do you see, it reminds me of that book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. The first habit is like, describe your funeral. What do you want people to say about you? And in this moment in time, I want them to know that I was fighting against the greatest tyrannical force that's ever existed in our planet's history.
And in our galactic history.
Galactic history. I chose a point to maybe public. Well, now I saw a chance to win. Maybe I'm a fair weather fan right now because I really do think I see a window where we can win this and we can really win this. If we all get together as a community, as all these people that have just been sensing this their our entire lives and realizing this is the moment where we stand up and we be that guy, walking down. We all have friends that disagree with us. We all have family that disagree and we love our friends and we love our family. So we don't broach subjects to them because we don't upset them. And I think now is the time where we have to, challenge them a little bit and we have to share this information. And this particular subject, I have a couple of family members that are just, they still try to not to believe, but everybody I've shown the information to are, they do agree it's weird. You start looking at the Instagram stuff. You show them media that they understand. I think that's it. I mean, like, you talk history books and you talk about conspiracies and like, two buildings knocking down three planes, or I'm sorry, two planes knocking down three buildings. Like this physics stuff that they don't understand. You can show them social media photos on Instagram where these people are talking about having, these crazy comments saying sex and these weird, just creepy stuff. Like that, it's an eye opener and it makes people feel uneasy. So that's a good way to broach the subject. I don't know. And I'm sorry, JP, for going on a little rant right now, but, I feel now is the time. And I'm excited that I'm on the phone with you. The full disclosure, I've listened to Sean on the radio for a couple years now. And so I know your voice, JP. Like, I feel like all we're right. friends. This is the first time we've ever talked.
Oh, well, hello, Ryan. And, I don't bite. Well, not hard. And,
good thing you're 8 hours away.
I am 8 hours away. You'd need a teleport to get here. Yeah. And then I can run. And then I'll use my teleport to escape. No, actually, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be nice if we had teleport? Like they have had teleport. I'm just saying, it'd be nice.
Yeah, the jump rooms and all that. Of course, that would make things a lot easier.
I'm just putting the idea out there because the more people might think, oh, yeah, that would be nice. Wouldn't that be cool? Because we wouldn't have to worry about oil. We wouldn't have to worry about roads and
fossil fuels. Yeah.
Pipelines. I mean,
just get into free energy technology that exists.
Yeah.
I think Tesla's trying to like slowly introduce that as much as he can. They'll shoot down his rockets once in a while, but, there's so many opportunities for, you just take the stranglehold of energy away from us. And that was free. I mean, just all this extra manpower that we all work for doing just silly jobs. You know, I don't know. But go ahead, Jason.
Well, yeah. Well, look, let's get back into the pizza of this whole thing. Because, you know, there it is. And what is a pizza? There's all sorts of metaphors, but it's a thing that it's like a dangly thing that attracts, you know, it's like the Pied Piper thing. You know, what does the Pied Piper do? It solves your problems and then takes your children away. And what does the Pied Piper do with the children? Anyway, that part of the story is not told. But, you know, there's probably been a child trafficking, trade for millennia.
Forever. I mean, even just so recently, for Boys Town in Nebraska, in 1994, there was a documentary that came out. It's called,
Conspiracy Silence. Of Silence. Yes. Conspiracy we have it here silence. At Wolf Spirit yes. Radio. You can get it.
Yeah. And, just to show how, like, that was like, should have, I mean, if social media existed in 1990, then it would have been, you know, you couldn't have gotten away from that, but they were able through the media and through power positions, through law and judges, they were able to shut that down and conceal it. And the person that went to jail longer was the one trying to expose it. This has been going on forever. And that's what Sean said, forever. This is just the fact that it's odd that I was so shocked, even though I knew it, that I had this experience that being shocked, like this is commonplace. This is as normal as anything that, it's probably existed longer than weddings. If you really think about it. All right, but go ahead, JP.
Well, you know, it's created by the people who create the laws and create the justice system and run the police and run the banks and run the pharmacology, companies and, in the military arm of the, you know, the, it's all, you know, it's all industry. It's all the same thing. I call it the death industry in general.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the death industry is run by the dead people, you know, like let the dead bury the dead, you know, that kind of people.
I think one thing that this does come to light and more people start waking up to this, I think that people will be more open to the idea of why they would put cancer viruses in vaccines and why the vaccine pushes so strong and they put mercury in vaccines and autism causes vaccines and why they spray the skies and all this, like the death cult, which you just described. I think once they realize that if someone is as evil enough to actually want to harm children, then they could do anything. Like, I mean, chemtrails is nothing, right? Nothing.
Spray them like bugs. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That they regard us as no more than that of some insect, you know, of some cow. So here's the thing. So, you know, what I was considering this. I was talking with various people the other night. And, okay, so if they... Let's say it's the reptilians in the end, or the archons, you know, driven, or whatever. But whatever they're doing to us, and we're feeling like cattle, and we're feeling like this and that, like we're being farmed and all this stuff. So it calls into attention our attitude towards those things that we farm.
Yeah. You know, Mark Passio has talked about this a lot and why he's become a vegan.
I love him. And his passion, Passio, his passion, you know, another whose name is, yes, he's fantastic. Please go.
No, yeah. And I love Mark Passio. He's such a great researcher. I've been studying his work for 2 years. And I mean, every time, like, when I'm not doing anything, I go to sleep just watching him and just listen to him and watch the videos. And if anybody's listening to this, I should just go to his website, What on Earth is Happening, and just watch his Natural Earth seminar. Just brilliant, lazy. And then go through all his podcasts. I would put him as the top researcher currently today. You can argue David Wilcock maybe, but he's more living, you know, like as far as researching goes, I think Mark, he has an abrasive way of talking about things, kind of like an Alex Jones kind of way. So some people, you know, they listen to it and they just, they get turned off because it just rubs them the wrong way. So it's much easier to discredit him rather than listening to what he's trying to explain to you. But as far as, what was it? Or, no, I went on the rant. What was the subject we're just talking about with Mark Passio? What were we just saying?
Well, we were talking about the, in the end, we were talking about the evil empire that, that runs behind it. And that it, indeed, just, it's the reptilian attitude towards us is the same attitude as we have towards, towards cattle and cows and farm animals in general. I live on a cattle farm, you know. I know of what I speak. Today it's a, this is a nice place. This is a heaven for cattle.
Are you, do you eat meat? Do you enjoy
for the last couple of weeks, I haven't eaten any meat, or vegetable, you know, not vegetables, or fish. But I had some fish last night and, I also had a chicken curry, which didn't go down too well. So, I have to say, But you know, it's the relationship. I'm always talking, you know, I don't want to make people feel guilty for eating something because they may need it. The whole thing is about the relationship that you have with it. So if you eat something, it's better to eat something that you know who killed it so that you, you can give thanks through that person, you know, to, you know, the, it becomes more of a personal relationship than this kind of, ground up, sawn up piece of fish. I looked at this piece of fish and I thought, oh, you poor little thing. Cause it was half of a slice of a fillet that had been coated in batter and all that stuff. And it, you know, had been reduced in its dignity as a whole being. You know, I could see that and I could accept that. And I was being aware of it, but at the same time.
Do you pray before your dinners, like before you eat?
I thank things, yeah. That, if that's prayer, you know.
Yeah, well, like, I mean,
so,
I guess, I mean.
So that's what I'm saying. It's all about the relationship you have with it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, Mark Passio's sworn off meat completely and saying like, this is the reason why aliens feed on us, you know, or whatever. And I was listening to something last night that said like, you know, like, as you said, it's like having a relationship and with, you know, when your body tells you, this is actually what I heard last night. When your body tells you I'm not ready for food and you need to move on to something more higher energy, then maybe that's the time that you do that. But you're not going to go around telling people, you know, when they're ready, they're ready. When your spirit tells you, and maybe if you haven't ate meat in 2 weeks, maybe this is, you know, a message to you. It's like maybe you're now ready to move on to the next level. I mean, I love eating meat. I love eating steak, a cookie steak. I just think about the, you know, this paradigm that we're in. I also know, like, you know, they've done studies against, they put like electrodes, electrocephalograms up to plants and they have the same fear response that they feel like they're getting killed. It's reminiscent of like animals getting killed. So it's like, all right, so where do we draw the line? If plants also feel that we're killing them.
Well, there's the thing.
Go ahead.
Because Ryan, what happens is that if you thank the plant before you eat it, it doesn't scream.
Yes, exactly.
It's all about the relationship. If there's a conscious relationship between you and the creature, that is, the creature realizes that it's part of the food chain. We need to know that we're part of the food chain. And if you step onto the food chain, you're on the food chain. This is the whole message. I spoke to a man who, I'm very much convinced, is completely correct, but he was on the surface of Mars when he was a child under part of, certain black operations and run by the CIA. And there were creatures there and he said you had to be vegan to live on the surface of Mars because as soon as you join the food chain, wham, you're part of the food chain. And other creatures come to eat you because they know that you're not a vegan. They can smell you. So, there's a thing, well, brothers and sisters.
Well, karmically, that explains why.
Instant, you know, karma. I was thinking about that today. Instant karma is going to get you.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this also, just to bring it back to Pizzagate, which was our topic earlier, is what is the elite's response going to be? I mean, we're talking about the people above the pedophile chain of command. What are they going to do now that this, their secrets being exposed? They have contingency plans. They know what they're going to do. So what are they going to do? So, they immediately plan the fake news story, which is reactionary. More people waking up. I honestly think that today's little knife attack at Ohio State was just the start of a lot of false flag attacks. I went to Ohio State University. We had a huge win on Saturday. The energy when we win at Ohio State, especially against our number one rival, is amazing. It is like the whole city is one, just united together. It's the most positive energy you've ever been around. It is better than any drug. It is great. So what do they do to compel that or dispel that on a Monday? They do a little attack on, a Somalian refugee, no less. And he knifed 9 people, and thankfully all 9 of those people lived, and the person was shot. Also, just to give it a shout out to Ohio State, very thankful that they sent out tweets and commands to the people. There's an active shooter on board, and they're like, hide, or run, hide, fight. So that was their message today at the Ohio State campus. It comes from the Department of Homeland Security, their new protocol, but this is the first time I've actually seen it enacted on an actual campus. So they're like literally run, can't run, hide, can't hide, fight. I thought that was pretty cool. No one died. Very sad that this happened on my university, but this was a pretty big deal, but it also like, if you believe in energy vampires and, I mean, when there's something that 1 out of every 1,000 people when you have so many people positive, it can change the consciousness of a lot of people. So yeah. It totally made sense to me why they took probably the biggest game in the country, and they did a knife attack on a Monday. So
zooming out from that though.
Okay, go.
This is such a, such an intense time on lots of levels. You know, that was a small intensity, but what we're seeing is we're seeing pressure from underneath. The underground bases are, the people in the underground bases are being forced upwards. The cabal that are hiding there, they're being forced upwards. Mm-hmm. There is pressure from above. And there's a lot of running about, being panicky and pressing all sorts of buttons to set them off and try to make distractions. And we have to stay focused. We know what the deal is. We're flushing them out. And we just need to, they just need to be seen. And what you're doing here, along with all of your people there, I think is marvelous. And, this is kind of like an ad hoc group, the people who just created a self-organizing collective. Is that what's going
on there? Absolutely. Absolutely. And what's so, like, rewarding, it's like, well, there's not, like, one of us is a leader in this thing. Like, I have done so little compared to so many people out there that have put out some great information. I might have had like 1 or 2 clues that I've added to the collective, and maybe I've shared information to other people, and I'm pretty good at sharing, and maybe right now I'm doing a better job at sharing. But if I'm not here, this movement's gonna go, and it's just gonna keep moving, and it's gonna keep moving forward. Like, there's no leader of this. Like, there's some internal, like, all of a sudden there's a switch that's inside of us. It's got turned on, and it's like, you know what? Now is your time to act. And we all just like stepped up, and we're all feeling it. And we like literally we talk to one person or message somebody. We're all saying, well, I have never met you before, but I feel like I've known you my entire life kind of feeling. Like, you can call us the light workers or maybe that's it. I don't know. But right now, like, we're all on this. And
yeah, absolutely.
We don't care.
Sorry, I'm getting all sorts of, I'm getting, inundated with Skype messaging saying, "Yeah, I'm really down. Tell your guest I'm with the truth that's being unfolded." And Keith Roberts from Arizona also wants to join in, if that's all right.
He's a regular
contributor and always has some interesting stuff. And then we also have another Wall Spirit host, Kurfunya, who I may bring in. Yeah, Go ahead. So, Keith.
Good evening, sir. How are you this evening?
How are you, brother? I'm very well. I was terrible this morning, but I'm feeling good. Well, I don't care how I feel now because other things are happening that are much more important than how I feel.
Fantastic show. Brian, it's very nice to meet you, sir. I am a fellow host on the network, and I one time told Sean that he is my Oprah because he's so right on. You know, and I had many comments with, you know, listening to the show. One of them is I got to know Kathy O'Brien a bit. I met her at a UFO conference, which coincidentally Sean was at. I met him there as well. And David Icke, among others. It was a really stellar crowd. And to me, I always – to me, she impressed me as being actually as incredible as her information is. Her heart is so big, and she's such a sweet person. So I was very pleased to hear Sean say such positive things about her, with the incredible difficulty being a presidential model, if you ever read her book. So that was really sweet. As far as eating meat goes, you know, I have to say, JP, I'm kind of in line with what Andrew Barsis says, that in a sense we are knowing them and they are knowing us. And Ryan, you were saying about, you know, liking to eat a steak. I'm craving a steak right now. So.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's very hard, because, you know, I'm having trouble eating chicken. You know, there's been a kind of whole, it's like the inside of my consciousness has been peeled. You know, I'm much more raw about things. I suppose that, yeah.
Yeah.
In that, I can feel plants and, you know, feel the consciousness of animals and things much more clearly, because I don't eat them, I suppose, and that I have more of a, I'm more open to their, you know, emotional connection. It's a very interesting thing. I'm sure that,
I think it's a blessing.
It does feel like an increased sensitivity and compassion and things like that. But of course, you know, it's hard to go into a supermarket and walk down the aisle and all these like, little body parts. It's like walking into John Podesta's living room and looking at all that painting, you know. It's bloody awkward stuff that, I mean, that what Sean's talking about, I've seen these things and they're all inside a swimming pool. You know, the swimming pool is an easy thing to wash out, to hose down. That's all I'm going to say. You know, we don't need to go any further, but they're easy to hose down. That's why they do them. And this whole thing came up in, did anybody see a show called Wild Palms? Nah, great
song. No, I haven't.
It was like a kind of micro series. It involved Kim Cattrall and James Belushi, and you can get it on... probably Netflix, but it's, you know, on the Torrent Network. Wild Palms. It's a mini series. It's like Twin Peaks, but it was set in the future. And there was a thing about swimming pools is they had an underground network of, tunnels that joined their, a door, which was in their swimming pool. So that you could only, the only way to get into the thing is you had to drain the swimming pool in order to get into the doors. And there's a lot, you know, is it like California, you know, where everybody's got a backyard swimming pool and there was a whole network connected to it. Very interesting little creepy connection there, don't you think? House underpinners. I have a friend who is a, lays concrete. It's his job. It's his love. It's his profession. We talk about things and, we're talking about underpinning houses, is that if you're able to underpin a house, which is basically you can get concrete down into the foundations, it means you can also concrete around a tunnel. So you can build a tunnel very easily if you have underpinning equipment. So, there's this underpinning company that is on that block of the same as the Pizza House. Is that not true, Ryan?
No, it is true. It is true. I mean, and again, these are all data points that, I mean, again, when you lay them all out, someone made a graphic of it a week and a half ago, and I'd say it's tripled or quadrupled since then. I mean, it's overwhelming evidence that, I mean, and there's just nothing to refute it. Like, if you just start refuting this in a logical way, and it's much easier to believe it than to refute it. It's a tougher job. And anybody, you give them the link and, the vote.co Pizzagate, there's a sticky tab, and I just send this link, and I'm like, to my, the most, objective friends, I'm like, hey man, just help me with this. Like,
hey, is there please. A .te domain, top level? You could have, pizzagate.te,
There's about four or five websites that have popped up with Pizzagate in it. I just don't right now. I can't endorse any of them, but I could definitely say that the vote.co Pizzagate is probably one of the best researches going on right now. Or hashtag Twitter, but, the caller, let's hear what the callers have to say.
Yeah. Sorry, Kufunya. I was going to call you on Skype, but anyway, hi Kufunya. Come in.
Oh, okay.
Now you're here. Let's hear from you. How are you doing?
Oh man, let me tell you, I am loving every gem that is being dropped here. I just happened to tune in. You know how the guest was talking about your spirit will let you know when it's time to stop eating meat or stop doing this and stop doing that and continue on a higher frequency, and I just happened to tune in, and OMG, I am like, oh man, I gotta tweet this out, I gotta Instagram this out to let people know what is really going on behind the scenes or even in plain sight. What I really loved is when, I think it was either Sean or your guest, who dropped the science about how they use, black culture and how they destroyed, these elite people, how they destroyed maybe even Black Wall Street. And also when he spoke about Malcolm X and Marcus Garvey, because that is the sentiment of the youth. Right now, they're not waiting for any messiah or any, extraterrestrials who are going to maybe come to the rescue. And if they come to the rescue, fine. And if they don't, people are really waking up to the fact that, we are not going to take this type of foolishness. And even speaking about, the various communities that I move with, they are very happy that the people in the community are very happy that Donald Trump has won, because it's like a wake-up call saying, hey, imagine if, as they call, Hillary would have won, there would have been discontent. Or, who knows what the massive outrage would have been because of that. But the fact that he has won, it has let people know, say, hey, you better get up off it and do for self, because the very frequency, the very essence of the God principle is already inside of you, waiting for you to activate it. We got trillions of cells of RNA, DNA that will show you that you have the capacity of doing your assignment and not wanting to be a not wanting an adult to further parent you. What is up with that? Do for self. You can do it, and there are people out there that are waking up to this reality. You know, and I like the way your current guest is talking about there are no leaders. It's just like everyone is getting in where they fit in. So I'm
exactly.
like all, you know, I'm
absolutely
I'm excited. And
just yeah, to go yeah. into what you're saying is, the reason why there's this, all our life, we've been looking for someone else to lead us and
yes.
someone else to tell us what to do and to give us direction. And so what you are feeling right now and your representation of why you appreciate what I had to say is like, we are finally starting to listen to what we have inside of us.
Yes.
And we're listening to that voice inside of us that's giving us a direction. And with,
yes.
And yes, the very few steps that we've taken have been alone. When I say alone, like isolated from other people. But now that we've been following our heart and our direction in life, we have now realized there is a community of people just like us that
yes.
all feel the same way. And now we're all yes. connecting right now through the gift of the internet
yes.
and shows like this. And it feels good.
Yes.
Doesn't it feel good?
Well, you know, my brother, it feels fantastic because, you know, I always say when I do my events and host workshops, I say, look, no disrespect to the puppies out there, but we are not helpless puppies in this universe. We are not helpless. We have just, like you have said, been taught to look outside of ourselves for some miraculous situation to happen. And I always say, speak what you want to come into existence. Do not be caught up in the drama of things, because that is a distraction. And on this program on HBO, I forgot the name of it, but it was like a children's show, and it would talk about all of the distraction news. So all you have in the media right now, the so-called media, is distraction. And if you're not sharp, if your mind is not sharp, you'll be caught up into the drama. But just know that if there is a distraction, there's something else that someone or something does not want you to pay attention to.
Right.
And
at this point that we've listened to, let's be grateful at this point, because the only thing to keep us happy is like, I even though there's so much evil in the world and all that, I am thankful that it got me to this place of understanding, because without the evil to wake me up, I would never be where I am now. I don't want any more evil left, though. And so now I'm going to do my best to stop it and start creating good and inspiring others. But I think we've hit a wall with that. But let's be, you know, it did take a lot of bad things. Don't you agree? I mean, I don't know what went on and transpired in your life, but I'm sure a few things happened that not well that made you wake up. Am I right, Color?
Well, the thing of it is that as a child, growing up, yes, you know, we all have, on my headphones. Is that better? Hello?
Yeah, that's better. Yep.
Okay, I just put on my headphones. As a child growing, as I reflect, I've always been fascinated by nature. I've always been fascinated by what they call science fiction. I've always been fascinated about the sun, the moon, and the stars especially. I've always been fascinated by thunder and lightning, and I always used to say, oh, man can make thunder and lightning, can they? You know what I mean? So, yes, I've had my setbacks, but I can tell you one thing, and I want to share this with you. As a child, because I was indoctrinated into Catholicism, even though my family was a member of the African Methodist Church, okay? But because of the education that Catholicism was offering, my parents felt that I would be able to get a better education. So so to speak. So I wanted to be a nun. I wanted, you know, I went through all of the confirmation, the Holy Communion, and all of that, you know, the religious instructions and so forth and so forth. However, I remember clearly one day, you know, a voice just as clear as they said, you don't, when going to confession, said, you don't have to go to a second party. You can come direct. You can go direct. You don't have to go through a second person. And then, you know, different things, you know, begin to unfold, you know, within my own life. And yes, you know, my heart has been broken, all of those things, but you learn from those things and you learn that whatever created the nebulas, whatever created the universes, the oceans, the rivers, the planets, we're all a part of that. So imagine that force that is being, that is within everyone and tapping into that.
Absolutely. So you said, absolutely. So you say you have a radio show? Do you have something we can listen to you if we want to like check into stuff?
Yeah, I do. I do.
You have a lot of good info.
I'm hoping that I'll get more time on Wolf Spirit Radio, which I love. And I can tell you about the story about how that came to be, but I'm on every second Sunday of the month. As a matter of fact, I'm having a program coming up this second Sunday in December. It's called Feel the Vibes from Your Guides. And I'll tell you, David Corso, may he rise in power, and I know he is, I don't know him. I just happened to stumble across Wolf Spirit Radio. You know how these things happen. There's no mistakes. There's no accidents. There's no coincidences. And we just started talking, and I would call him up on his line, and I would just talk to him. And he was very beautiful towards me, and I just said, you know, maybe one day, you know, I could be on your radio program. You know, have a program on this network. And a couple of years later, this is what happened. But what impressed me the most, because he didn't really know anything about me per se, but I guess he picked up some energy and frequency, in February, I think it was either 2013 or 2012, around that time, when Bob Marley's birthday was coming up, on February 6th. And you know what that man did? That man levitated the most of the whole day to Bob Marley's positive music. And I said, wow. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure he gets a lot of people call him, and I knew that we had a connection some sort of a way. And I'm also going to be invited on Dolly's show on Wednesday, December 7th. So I don't know what the vibes is going to be about, but I know it's going to be something positive and uplifting, because we have the power within ourselves as a divine feminine in this form, that we have the power to do these things. If we tap into nature, all we have to do is look at nature. Look at how the animals function within nature, and then you'll see. But because some kind of a way, some kind of a crazy way, we have been programmed to be disconnected from nature. I could not.
It's our intellectual minds, Kufunya. It's our intellectual minds, and we are coerced into thinking. And when we use our thinking mind, our intellectual mind, we lose that connection that you're talking about with your heart, you know, because it's the heart to the head. And what the whole of our society is geared, you know, because that's the corporate society. Because if you can keep people in the intellectual mind, then you can tell them anything
and they'll believe it, because if you disconnect them from the heart, the reality quotient just disappears. You know, you don't have any connection with the ground anymore. So if you can keep people in an intellectual consciousness, then you know, anything goes, and you can think yourself into thinking evil is good and good is evil, as has happened with these people and the Pizzagate people. Please go.
And you know what else, JP? The very thing that you were talking about, or your guest was talking about, is history. Most people in America don't even know their history of this country. They don't even know that corporations, you know, that people, have you ever wondered why your names are in capital letters? You know, have you ever wondered why that, you know, America is a corporation? And have you ever wondered why they now have deemed people as a corporation? No way! Flesh and bone cannot be a corporation. Corporations are not living, breathing, heartfelt, soul people.
No, they're intellectual. Yes, they're intellectual, and they literally call themselves intellectual property. So as like intellectual real estate dealers.
No,
but here's the thing. I know it's completely wrong. You know,
but I like the way that your guests really pulled apart, you know, what pulled the curtain behind. Like, I have a poem called, or a song called New World Order. You know, too much hypocrisy, you know, in this New World Order, because I was looking at, you know, the Statue of Liberty must be blind and she cannot see in this New World Order. You know, I mean, one day, probably on the Wednesday show on December 7th, I will recite that poem, which is also a song called The New World Order, because it's too much hypocrisy. Where is true democracy, so to speak, in this New World Order? Well, we know that it's none there.
It's a different thing, but it's the same. It's the same energy behind it, and this is the thing.
So,
Kofunia, thank you very much for calling in. I want to give. Go on.
Yeah, I just want to thank, you know, everyone who is tuning in and resonating with this frequency. You're not wrong, and you're not crazy. And you know what? You gotta be out of your mind. You know, you have to be out of your mind to see what is really going on. So keep up the good work. Keep on asking questions. And I am going to do my best to join the new, social media. I think it's called Gab.
Yeah. Good luck with that. I was 1,300,000th. It's probably up to 1,500,000. So, bless your heart.
Okay.
I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Your heart too.
Thank you. Good
love
night.
And light. Love and light.
Thanks
love
for calling.
Love.
So, let's bring it back. Keith, where were you?
Well, she said some very beautiful things. One of them is I feel that the chains have been released. You were talking about these meteors or whatever they were in the sky, perhaps elites fleeing Earth. In my opinion, that is exactly what is happening. Ryan, by the way, I'm very into the UFO thing and have experienced this myself. what I'm seeing is a real purge and a real lightning. You know, a lot of darkness has been shed. And so it's very fertile ground for us to decide what our hearts desire and start to manifest this reality. One of the oldest predictions is that, you know, maybe not all of us, but that we'll start to see through the lies of our elites and our media, which of course you and Sean were talking about so much earlier. You know, so all this is revealed and the media has been exposed, as Sean said, for the hoes that they are.
The veil has truly been lifted.
Yes, exactly.
And we're sort of, you know, we've been seeing through the veil. We've been poking through it and, I would say it's literally us, but now like our friends and family and people.
The people we've been telling, our relatives are the hardest ones to convince, right?
Yeah. And they're starting to realize that like, oh, you know what? Maybe this doesn't make sense. And they'll message me and they'll like send me news stories. They're like, oh my God, this is bullshit. You know? And I'm like, yeah, it's bullshit. But, you know, but of course I reinforce it, but like, so I've been trying to tell you. So I'm very optimistic. Yeah. It could go really wrong and you know, we could,
I don't think it's a pessimistic situation here. I think they're trying to make it look chaotic and difficult and overwhelming and everybody's being triggered as buggery. I think I can say triggered as buggery on Studio B. It's my radio station. I can say whatever I like on Wolf Spirit Radio if I want to, but let's say triggered as buggery for it's a good old, you know. Anyway, so, cause it's all, anyway, back to the pizzas, the whole Pizzagate thing.
Fun.
You know, pizzas are the red and yellow. They're like Santa Claus. They're like, you know, they're like, staple diet of thousands and thousands.
I'm so glad I hate gluten and hate wheat like 2 years ago. Like I've hated pizza for 2 years, so I'm very happy.
It's like, you know, that suddenly you realize something about your people and you thought, I'm going to step right away from them before the great big boot comes down. Oh my God. Yeah. Pizza eaters. Who'd have thought? No, but I mean, like, you know, I don't want to curse everybody's food, but, it's another thing that they've subverted them, you know, everything that we thought was good and nice. And this is the whole thing is that they have been the arbiters of good taste for all these years. This is what's good. This is what's nice. You know, this looks right, you know, and it's like, no, I like
this. If you've ever walked on a mountain trail and looked over a lake with the mist coming off the a sunset or like seen a sunset, like there's so much beauty and potential in our world that exists like on a daily basis that people aren't privy to because they have, you know, they're obsessed with their life with themselves and television and all that. But you know, thought, go ahead, next thought.
Keith.
I think that,
did you have a thought?
Really?
Yeah,
I do. I think we have much to celebrate. I really think we've won a huge victory. It's not that I think Trump is a super neat guy or anything. In fact, he may just be, the right shark to eat up the other sharks. You know what I mean? Exactly. But I think we have won a huge victory. I feel that chains have been, really shed. I feel that for myself, I have much more opportunity than ever to create the kind of future that we want. How about yourself, JP and Ryan? I mean, a ripple in the force, if you will. It's really, there's been a sea change.
It's no better time to be creative, I think. Absolutely. Like, everyone's just thirsting for new ideas, and everybody that's has a 9-to-5 job that has a status quo. And when you're living in that world of, stress where, you know, basically that part of your brain, like the R complex part of your brain, like you've cut yourself off from creativity.
So, the hamster wheel, as I call it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're so stressed. You're working hard and, you know, you're making money, but you don't have time to meditate. You don't have time to like, go beyond the scope of what your career is because you have devoted to something that, and granted, so I, God bless those people that are working hard to pay for their families and their kids and they're doing great things, but they're not creative at all because they've shut that part, the access off to their brain. They're literally living in a stress, fight or flight state. So, us being people that are free thinkers and you just ask what creative things we're doing, I think this is a golden age for creativity where we can offer ideas that give you
some hope and some possibility. And I don't, you don't know how many conversations I get into because I literally hang out with a bunch of rich people. I just literally inspire them. I just give them ideas and like, you could be doing this. Like what gets you, if you won the lottery tomorrow, what would you do besides travel? All right. We got the break.
We're at the end of the show, I think. So 1900. Listen, guys, it's been great. Thank you very much. Ryan Bozan and Bozan and Keith Roberts and Gufunya Ife and Sean David Morton himself. It's been Journeys with JP and bye bye. And stay safe and look after your kids and don't sell your kids to anybody. Oh, bless your heart. What an amazing day. And send money to Standing Rock. Send lots of money to Standing Rock.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
No, we won't.